Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, man, in hour number two. Brian McFadden is in. He's our new sixth man. Florida State Seminole and a member of the Steelers, won two Super Bowls with the Steelers. Man, when you start off as a rookie, because I got here in 98, and I was my first year doing sports talk radio full time, and the Falcons went right to the Super Bowl. I'm like, oh, it's going to be like this every year.
Yeah.
Did you think you thought the same thing?
No question. I thought that was the only option, getting to the Super Bowl. And of course, you know, I came down, I got some reality my second year, and then third year, and then fourth year, we're back again. So, you know, I was 50%.
Pretty cool, because you had a stopover in Arizona, and you kind of bookended it. So you had one with Cowher and one with Tomlin.
Yes, one with each coach. Outstanding defensive-minded coaches, by the way.
And the thing is about Pittsburgh, as you guys well know, they don't fire coaches like they don't go through coaches like Sox, like some franchises. And you know, Cowher was a guy, and again, there was
and
some,
he walked away,
right? And before you got there, there were some real. To be quite honest, there were some moments where teams might have moved on from really talented Steelers teams not getting it done in AFC Championship games or deep in the playoffs. And then finally they punched through against Seattle. What's the biggest difference between Tomlin and Cowher, the same guy?
Tomlin can be a bit more, you know, player friendly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Cowher, my rookie year, Cowher didn't talk to me until like the month of November.
That's old school.
I was a second round draft pick. I thought he just didn't like me. I thought I was going to get cut in training camp because he never said anything to me. And you know, second rounders don't get cut.
Right.
I'm like, man, listen, am I going to make the team? And I made a few plays my rookie year in the month of November. I'm like, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. So, you know, he showed me some love.
That's cool. I mean, that's definitively old school.
That's old
school.
He didn't say one. He would walk past me in the hallway. Like I wasn't there. We'd be in the cafeteria, and he would say, what's up? What's up to such and such? Right. I'll walk up, walk right past me.
So like mentally. So it was almost like a rookie hazing in its own way.
But he told me, he said, you know, you Florida State guys think you know everything, so I wanted to, you know, keep you humble. I'm like, what did I do?
But we are DB. I mean, when I say we, yeah, I'm in the stands.
You can
we
say,
are DBU.
You can say it. You can say it. Like, yes. You rode in the streets in Tallahassee.
Right on. So, and I'm still. And we were just talking. We'll get into Florida State stuff later on in the week. I got Brian here for a couple of days because we're just talking about the present state of affairs down in Tally, which has some Seminole fans going. Hey, man, we got a couple of things to dive into. I want to pick your brain on a couple of NFL players and where they're at for 2019. Let's hit an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, here's the deal. Carl and I have been going round and round on this, and we're pretty much in agreement.
What you got?
What do you do if you're the Cowboys? Because the going rate for quarterbacks is north of $30 million. Oh. But is Dak Prescott worth that kind of money in a year where he's expecting a new contract?
I mean, based on the market, based on the timing of these deals, yes, he is. That's the market. Now, granted, should he receive 30? No. But if Carson Wentz go get 30, how can Dak Prescott cannot go get 30?
Right.
Remember Jimmy Garoppolo? He go get like 27, which was the highest for a quarterback at that time. No knock there on him, so why are you trying to knock Dak Prescott?
Dak is a guy that wins games. I guess the argument, I'll play devil's advocate, because they run the ball so much with Ezekiel Elliott, he's a victim of that offense. He's never going to have the elite passing yardage or touchdowns.
I get that, but Ezekiel Elliott is that good, but don't knock Dak Prescott. Kirk Cousins go get $80, $90 million fully guaranteed.
Right.
So you mean to tell me who's better, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins?
I like the fact Kirk Cousins even says, was it 2 weeks ago? I'm a 500 quarterback.
He is.
And nobody wants to see a 500.
But he's getting paid.
And for those for millennials who don't understand, that's a winning percentage of 50-50. Right?
Yes, he's getting paid like he's a, what, 80% winning type of quarterback. So, so Dak Prescott, I understand the argument because he's not worth $30-plus million. Carson Wentz is not either.
Article in the LA Times over the weekend about what's going on with Todd Gurley. And did they overspend? And is this going to be the next Gale Sayers type thing where a guy, now granted, Gale never made this kind of money, but Gale had an injury that cut him down in his prime and never was the same. Still was able to get in the Hall of Fame just based on a short piece of work. What do you do? I mean, how do you handle this if you're the Rams and Gurley? They're saying at the bare minimum he's got some kind of arthritis in his knee.
Well, clearly he will have to be on a pitch count. Now, if you're a Rams fan, do you really want to hear that? The last 2 years, I mean, he's been so involved in the offense, catching the football, running the football. And because of that, I mean, he's been one of the best fantasy players around. And he's been so successful. And he's taken pressure away from Jared Goff.
Right.
So now what will life look like in that offense if Todd Gurley is only receiving at least 50% of the touches that we've seen over the last two-plus years?
Because they, you know, they beat through, we don't have to rehash out the Saints playoff game went down, but he did have a touchdown in that one, but he was so conspicuous.
He wasn't impactful.
Right.
And he was
conspicuous
was not impactful.
By his absence. Again, I still say, and Carl and I, we debate this, I think the Saints would have given you a hell of a lot better Super Bowl than the Rams give you.
It pains us to say that in Atlanta, but I agree with you.
Mark that down. Hey, man. Sony Michel, by the way, Patriots saying that he ended the offseason program on the sideline, but it sounds like she would be back to speed sooner than later. Apparently, he had an arthroscopic surgery procedure on his knee. However, he sat out minicamp. He was late getting to work. And once he did, he had a big impact. But, I mean, this is kind of like the way things are in the NFL. Guys, you're going to get scoped if you're a running back. It's going to happen at one point. But what do you think about his impact? Sony Michel's a guy.
Oh,
what he did come on. Another weapon. Take the pressure off Brady.
He's a beast. He went into the ideal situation. We saw what he was able to do in Athens. A do-it-all type of running back. But going to New England, playing with Tom Brady, and playing behind an experienced offensive line, and being able to not necessarily be the featured guy because it was running back by committee, and eventually he took over. I really love Sony Michel. Just hopefully he can remain healthy.
Now, what do you make of Odell Beckham? I mean, no one debates the talent. He says he was never going to reach his full potential with the Giants.
You know what, Mike? I'm pretty sure in your heyday, you've been around a lot of females, right?
You know, 40 pounds ago, I used to be very popular.
I'm pretty sure you had some nice ladies this past weekend.
Easy, Tiger. My wife was out of town at the pool party. Ixnay out of it.
I mean, collectively.
Yes, but, the royal
but,
we.
But let's go to a situation to whereas when you are removed from a relationship, and you always talk about their relationship. You hadn't gotten over the fact.
Right.
Right?
You keep on talking.
You keep on talking about it. That means you're mad that you're not involved in that situation that you currently was involved in. So with that being said, he's mad that he's no longer in a New York Giants uniform. Get over it.
You guys are football players. We were always under the impression that football players, hockey players, baseball, even hoops, you guys are just tough, mentally tough. Is sports now a reflection of society at large? Everybody's in their feelings?
Not everybody, but the majority. You know, we see this with any professional sport. Now, granted, getting traded is tough. I got traded, you know what I mean, from Arizona back to Pittsburgh is extremely tough. And not to mention when you're that guy, when you're one of the best players on the team, you feel like you're entitled to be able to move when you want to move. Remember Isaiah Thomas?
Right.
When he got traded from Boston, I mean, he took that clearly to heart. Now, granted, he felt like I gave this organization everything I had. Remember, he lost his sister.
Right.
He still played. So I understand that. But you can never forget about the business. An organization will always do what they feel is best for the organization. And that is the issue. Some players get misconstrued sometimes.
And I think it's so difficult in the case of ODB because take aside, you know, the personal stuff. And, again, he's never really done anything wrong off the field. Just decisions which make you roll your eyes, like let's have a boat trip in the middle of the playoffs. It doesn't matter if you win. When you lose, the New York media is going to light you up on
yes,
that.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
You and your boys in the team, and it's still kind of goofy,
Let me
too.
Ask you this question. What do you think Odell is more upset about, not being with the Giants or not being in New York?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think certainly you could argue that in Cleveland, if Baker Mayfield, and we all think he's going to be doing some good things for the next couple of years, he's got a chance to get the ball and make some plays. Eli is just winding down, and it ain't good. And, you know, we saw Eli here when the Giants came to town. I think he's got a chance to put more points on the board, more stats. It just, I don't know, was it when he made the one-handed catch, was that the worst possible thing? It created this sort of cult of ODB, that he was sort of, you know, a larger-than-life character, and then he tried to live up to it.
Instant celebrity.
Right.
I mean, he's a talented, skillful player, but when he made that catch on prime, it was a Sunday night game against the Cowboys. It was like, that's it. That was a wrap. But that the most important thing that he is forgetting, he's a part of a more relevant team,
right.
A team that has higher expectations, a team that's going in the right direction based on what we believe will happen, and you will be you should be winning. I mean, the Giants, I'm not necessarily saying they're rebuilding, but I mean, it's safe to say best case scenario in their division, they would finish third. Best case scenario.
He's playing with his boy, Jarvis Landry. You know, they still got the Ravens in that
division.
Happy,
right? He shouldn't be talking about the Giants and what happened.
Everything should be rolling that way. Hey, man, Amari Cooper's goal this year is 2,000 yards. We were just talking about Dak Prescott wanting to get paid like an elite quarterback. If Amari Cooper gets to 2,000 yards, then that would mean that Dak is worth that kind of coin.
No question. No question. The Cowboys, man, they're in a very, very difficult financial spot. You have to eventually play Amari Cooper, who you traded for. Ezekiel Elliott, he'll be up soon. We all know about Dak Prescott, Byron Jones, I mean, Smith. I mean, they have so many young players they will have to address their contract issues, and I don't know if they will be able to sign all of them.
As a former corner, what do you think of Amari Cooper?
I love his game. Mm-hmm. His stop and go is so precise. I call Amari Cooper the cockroach killer. Anytime he's running an out route, comeback, it's almost like he's stepping on something. He's stepping on the insect. I mean, he's powerful. He's a very, very elusive guy. And the thing that goes unnoticed, his ability to provide yards after the catch. I like his game.
Does the tight end position get better now because you bring back your old school tight end? You tried TV, didn't really work out so well. But I mean, right now it's Allen Hurns. I'm looking at the depth chart. Amari Cooper,
Randall Cobb. I like.
You think got anything left in the tank?
I like the addition. Mm-hmm. You know, of Randall, especially in the slot. You don't expect to see Randall Cobb doing a lot of damage outside the numbers, but in between the numbers.
Right.
I mean, he can do some damage.
Jason Witten, speaking of pitch count, you think he'll do anything this year?
It depends. You know, will he be pulling a refrigerator behind him? Because clearly it looks like Jason Witten is moving at zero speed.
Oof. And that's part of, you know, what made him so successful all those years. He never was at Blazewood. He could find a spot in the scene.
He's a cerebral guy. You know, he's very, very smart. It's not about his athleticism, especially the last 3-4 years we saw him in uniform. He just knows how to create separation because he's smart. But that tells you how bad they were at the tight end position where they go get a guy who was in the booth.
Right.
Away from the game to come back and now potentially be your week one starter.
Tell you what, he's doing everybody who watches Monday Night Football a big favor by putting him back on the football field.
You wasn't a Jason Witten fan in the booth.
I don't think there was anybody that was a Jason
Somebody
Witten fan.
Was.
Jason's mom. Brother, it wasn't good. I like Booger, and I just think that Testator is just so over the top. You can have some fun with it. You know, Monday Night Football is about entertainment, and they tried so many different versions of it. Remember, and some were fails, like Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser, but they got to find a happy medium.
I think the worst situation for them was following Gruden. That's the thing.
And Sean McDonough and Gruden didn't get along, and it was still a fun broadcast.
It was a fun broadcast, and you learned something from Gruden.
I can't wait for this year.
Oh, yes. Must-see TV.
Everything you could possibly want.
Must-see TV.
Do you know guys who played for Gruden? They like him?
A few guys, yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matter of fact, when I played, came out in the Senior Bowl, Gruden was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers staff, was our coaching staff.
Okay.
And he was a pretty cool dude. You know who was on that staff? How things come full circle. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin. Who was a DB coach.
Right.
Raheem Morris, who was assistant DB coach here in Atlanta. Of course, Kiffin. And then eventually, Tomlin becomes the head coach. And then I remember where Raheem, you know, took over, got into the NFL. So everything came full circle.
Yeah, Gruden, I've always thought there's some people feel, and the media more than anybody else, they feel there's an affectation that he's putting it on. I think he's just a fun dude.
Yeah,
you know, because John Madden was that guy. Madden was a guy that everyone in the Raiders would run through a brick wall for. There's some guys you make that connection with.
Yeah.
Now, I'm trying to think of your stops. Bruce, did you have Bruce, or you were? He was
B.A.?
Who was in?
B.A. was with me, O.C. in Pittsburgh.
Right, because he seems like
Wisenhunt.
We've met him.
Wisenhunt was the head coach.
I've heard some different things about him. Bruce Arians, though, because now they're back in our division. Bruce is in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
We've met him a few times at the Super Bowl, and Carl, we played in the golf tournament. Seems like a cool dude.
B.A. is cool, but he will cuss you out at any given time. It doesn't matter if you're a superstar. It doesn't matter if you're a practice squad player. You talk about F-bombs.
Right.
Dumb sons of bees and all that. Man, listen, B.A. goes at it. But he's extremely knowledgeable, and you respect him.
So no big surprise if Gerald McCoy, you know, Bruce says, if I can't have you on the field, you can't help me.
Yeah.
Adios.
Yeah. And also, too, he didn't really know Gerald. You know what I mean? That was more so on the GM. The GM had a great relationship, I thought, with McCoy, and clearly it wasn't as tight as we all, you know, assumed. And because of that, they moved on to a different direction. But like I said, the organization, they're going to do what's best for the organization.
It is a Brian McHenry. That's our Braves catcher. We'll talk more about the Bravos and their amazing run of the East. But we got Brian McFadden. B-Mac is in here today filling in for Carl. We've got our conversation from our midday show with Randy and Andy, talking to our newest Hawk, Cam Reddish. That's on the way. And, of course, when we were talking soccer with Jason, I cannot – and I wasn't surprised that you would like to see little guys getting picked on as a former defensive back.
No question. I mean, you got a little guy. You got to try to pick on him, push him around a little bit.
But, see, fans want offense. As a defensive-minded player, everything in the world now is all about offense.
You got to hate it.
In soccer, in the NBA.
Everything is.
I'm sure you like the Pistons beating up on guys in the
league. That was real great basketball. You know what I mean? Elbows and occasionally headbutts and things like that. Let's get back to the good old days.
That's a philosophy. See, he likes to see little guys getting picked up. You imagine Steph Curry in the 80s?
Yeah.
You have two black eyes.
Yeah. He wouldn't be trying to get to the rim.
We got plenty more to dive into. We got, in case you missed it, Mike Conley's back from his vacation, but we will hear Cam Reddish, newest member of our Atlanta Hawks. So many people at State Farm were going bananas when the word came down on draft night. We got Duke. We got a guy from UVA. Future's bright. See what Cam had to say next. It is Dukes and Bell with Brian McFadden filling in today. Be back. Having a great time. A lot of people getting us on the text line at 404-741-0929 enjoying the NFL conversation. Expect plenty more of that, guys, this week as Brian is in for Carl, who's kicking it on the beach. We got plenty to dive into. The red-hot Braves. We were just talking about what the Dodgers are doing. You heard Jim Rome display his knowledge of the Dodgers earlier. And we got some important points to get to about why the Braves are so good but still got some work to do. And the Hawks, the new era begins. Work started, of course, rebuilding this team when Travis Schlenk got the keys. And things so far are really going great. If you didn't get a chance to hear Cam Reddish, want to play the interview for you. Cam Reddish sat down with Randy McMichael and Andy Bunker. First question they asked, a lot of these young guys, these youngsters, when they were given information and given, like, videos, if you didn't see this, it went viral last week, didn't know who Outkast was. They're like, really?
First and foremost.
Yeah, I think I was just, like, blanking on camera, really.
Uh-huh.
I know them. I've seen them before. But obviously on camera it's different. You know, you get a little tense and nervous. But I don't know them. I don't know a few songs.
Okay. All right. All is forgiven. Perfect. All is forgiven.
We just had to clear that up because when that video came out on Friday, people were like, hang on. They might have to trade him. You don't know who Outkast is. It might have to be a draft day trade. Anyway, Cam Reddish joining us here. Does know who Outkast is. Fully confirmed. Off to a great start. Number 22, huh?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
Growing up, my dad used to play. He used to wear 44. And just wanted to be, you know, half of him. So 22 was obviously half of 44, and that's how it all started.
That's great.
Cam.
That's a great reason.
Has to be one of the greatest nights of your life being drafted on Thursday night. But, I mean, it's only been 4 days. How has your life changed in these 4 days? Because this is a big deal getting drafted in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. It's truly a blessing. The city of Atlanta showed a ton of love, and I hope to reciprocate that love in the near future. And I'm just extremely happy and excited to be here. So.
What is that? How are you going to reciprocate the love? What does that mean?
Yeah, I want to give Atlanta my all. I'm going to give me the opportunity to, you know, be the best Cam I can be. So I just want to come in here, you know, work extremely, extremely hard and just give everything I got.
Now, you know a couple of guys that are here already. You said you were talking to the press. You played at Team USA with Kevin Herter. Mm-hmm. You're a Philly guy, so you know Amari Spellman. But this Trae Young thing, and right now we're looking at him as possibly the face of this franchise, the guy who's going to lead it. How is your relationship need to be with him?
You said, how's it need to be?
Yes.
I mean, we need to be super close. I mean, he can do a variety of different things on the court, and I'm looking forward to learning from him, learning, you know, his tendencies and stuff like that, and building our chemistry as a team. Not only just Trae, and I feel like, you know, that's the first thing we need to do, and you know, from there it's just up.
Cam Reddish joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. I know Trae FaceTimed you right after you got selected.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you as a guy who's now coming onto a team where Trae already is? And look, Trae's done a really good job in a year of building up a rapport with the, like you said, developing that chemistry with the fan base. What does that mean to you for him to reach out to you immediately like that?
Yeah, I mean, it felt great. I mean, it was within minutes he called me, so just knowing he was watching made me feel good. Obviously, he's a phenomenal player. Hopefully, he gets, you know, Rookie of the Year tonight. But, I mean, it made me feel great, so I'm looking forward to getting started with him.
This will be my only question to you about Duke and everything, and it's because the fact that what was your role? Because a lot of people, everybody knew about the other two guys. We know what was going on with them, 1-3 drafted respectfully, but your skill set was probably the closest, was probably better than both of those as far as what you can do as a total player. How was your role with Duke last year? Because for me, I thought, I was like, this guy can ball, but for some reason it seems like he's not sure where he needs to fit in with his team.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough for me to really adjust. You know, I was used to being on the ball a lot. But that's why I think Duke prepared me for this level. I mean, I learned how to play off the ball. And obviously, early in the season, I had a few injuries. So it was just tough, you know, adjusting in the very beginning. I think it's preparation for what's to come.
I'm sure you've heard a lot of the positive things people have said about your game. I'm sure you've heard some of the negative things people have said coming into the draft as well. And for whatever reason, the thing that kept coming up was motor, was ability to motivate or something like that. Just hearing you up there earlier, talking to you now, you keep talking about hard work. Where do you think that perception comes from? Why would folks have an idea that your motor wouldn't be what it should be?
I think I have a calm demeanor. Yeah. People can take that, you know, the wrong way. Take it as I'm being passive. And I don't think that's necessarily, you know, true or accurate in any way. I think I just have a calm demeanor. And but, you know, I'm ready to give my all. So
we were saying that in your press car. We're like, well, look, he's cool, man. He's just not, he's not real, you know, he's not a guy that's going to be out there in your
jacket.
Face. Look at him. He's
smooth.
He's
got to be cool.
He's smooth up here with the, and that is from the JCPenney collection, right? Yeah. I mean, you're fresh. I mean, JCPenney didn't have stuff like that when I was growing up.
But,
That is sharp right there. Yeah. And going back to the injury, because you are a little banged up right now, trying to recover from that. I don't think you're going to be able to play in summer league and all that. So right now, your whole mindset is just getting healthy and getting on the court.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right now, I feel great. Like, I really think I could play. Obviously, I can't. But I mean, I feel great. I have no pain right now. And yesterday, I worked with, you know, the training staff to, you know, just a little PT. So I'm just trying to get back, you know, as soon as possible. No rush. But you know, I'm definitely feeling good right now.
What is it that's ailing you? That's not going to allow you to play in summer league? What's the issue?
Yeah, I had a partially torn groin, and I had to just get it repaired.
Right. Well, yeah, we need your whole, man.
Oh, yeah, we got
Yeah, we need your whole summer league.
Of
to
all
be
the
there.
Things you want to tear,
yeah.
A groin doesn't sound like the one you want to be messing with.
That is. So far, so since you've been here for a couple of days now, how's your interaction been with Coach Pierce so far?
Oh, yeah, he's a real cool dude, real laid back. I feel like we kind of have similar personalities in a way, and but I feel like he'll help me grow, and that's what I want to, you know, that's the ultimate goal, is just to get better and progress every single day, and I feel like he'll be the one, you know, to push me every single day.
Has he kind of defined what he needs from you?
Here and there, I feel like that's kind of a thing we need to kind of figure out, you know, once we get on the court and once we connect, you know, with the rest of the team. And, I feel like, you know, we'll just figure that out, you know, in the future, in the near future.
Cam Reddish joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cam, we were talking about this on Friday. We were doing a show talking about you as the selection, and Randy said to me, well, you know, he's tough because he's from Philly.
Yes.
Is that true? Like, I didn't realize Philly automatically meant you're tough. Is that true?
I'm actually from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Which is not too far from Philly, but I did play in Philly a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of guys in Philly are gritty and, you know, aggressive and obviously tough. So I definitely get that from that, you know, that area. But for sure, yeah.
I just want a clarification, right? He also said he's not from Philly.
Well, technically he's from Philly, okay?
What is it, Norristown?
Norristown.
That's tougher. That's tougher.
Norristown's tougher than Philly?
I don't know.
There we go. See, there, and again, we enjoy it. We're happy. We're very excited you're here. And when you're sitting there and, you know, the picks are going and everything, because we didn't know what the Hawks were going to. We know that a lot of mock drafts, I know, I'm pretty sure you saw them, had you coming to Atlanta. When 8 came up, did you think you were going there?
I really didn't know. I was praying I came to Atlanta, uh-huh. Low key. But I really had no idea. My agent gave me an idea that you guys would take me at 10, but I wasn't sure I'd be there that long. Obviously, it worked out perfectly for me, but to be honest with you, I had no idea what was going to happen.
Well, I'm glad your prayers were answered.
Yes.
Me too.
You were a guy we've been talking about for a good long time. Why? Why Atlanta was the city that you were praying for?
I mean, I've been here quite a few times. I used to have family here. I'm sure I still do. I'm not necessarily sure if they moved or not, but I mean, the city of Atlanta to me is perfect. Like, I just, like, it's beautiful. I'm outside of the basketball world. And then obviously the fan base is like no other. I mean, they show so much love to me, and I mean, billboards and seeing myself on buildings and stuff like that. I mean, it's truly a dream come true, and I mean, I appreciate all the love.
It's got to be so cool to get come up, and as soon as you get to the city, it's a billboard sitting there with you on it.
Oh, you don't even know.
I don't know.
I've
never been on a billboard.
Yeah, it felt great. Dream come true, really.
Can you explain this to us? We had this conversation leading into the draft on Thursday. We were taking bets on who was and wasn't going to wear socks. There was a lot of guys up there with no – you're sitting here with us right now with no socks on.
No socks.
What's that about? Is that what's hot right now?
Tell us the word that you said.
All right, yeah, I said it's swaggy.
It's swaggy.
Yeah,
it's swaggy. We need to get on that side of the swaggy.
I got sweaty feet. it wouldn't be good.
Yeah, definitely swaggy, smooth. But you know, my pants were kind of they're higher. So I'm not gonna wear socks like that. It won't look right.
You got to show the ankles off.
It's all about the style.
Yeah. So, Cam, when are you going to officially? You know, everybody's coming down. I'm here in Atlanta. You got to go back to school, get some stuff. What you got coming up?
Right now, I'm here. I'm here till summer league. I'll be here throughout the entire time, just rehabbing and trying to get better, get more healthy. And I mean, that's that. So.
Okay.
What else do we need to know about Cam Reddish as he joins us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy? What about nicknames? There's a lot of nicknames on this team. Do you have one?
I mean, my full name's obviously Cameron, but my nickname is Cam. I go by Cam. A lot of people call me Cam Fam, of course.
Cam Fam.
Okay.
So
okay.
I don't mind that.
All right.
And, you know, those two right there.
Perfect.
I love it.
Welcome to Atlanta, Cam.
Yeah, congratulations, bro. That's big time.
I'm happy those prayers were answered, man. Great to meet you. Again, congratulations. We'll be seeing a lot of you soon.
For sure. Thanks.
That's Cam Reddish, the number 10 overall pick by the Atlanta Hawks last week. Newest member of your Atlanta Hawks.
And that was from earlier today up there at State Farm. As we said, if you missed it, he'll wear number 22. And those jerseys, yes, are already on sale. And a good job by the Hawks marketing team. I saw from Chris Vivlamore, who's down there from the AJC, that they've already, Brian, got the welcome to Atlanta when you're coming up the escalator at the South Terminal. Mm-hmm. And you got Cam Reddish saying, this is Cam Reddish, and now I'm ever Atlanta Hawks. So pretty cool.
Oh, no question. And, of course, you know, just getting drafted is an outstanding experience. But, you know, going into a situation where the future is bright, you know, you can tell that you can hear the excitement in his voice.
Plus, Atlanta, you know, we always talk about in the NFL, everybody lives here. Everybody's got a house here. Mm-hmm. NBA guys got houses here. But we can never seem to tag the big free agents in the NBA. Hopefully that's going to change. Guys want to play with their buddies. Hopefully we become sexy because guys are always here every other time of the year. Why can't we get them to wear a Hawks uniform?
Yeah. And I also, too, you got to look at what they're doing as far as developing homegrown players.
Right.
Draft players. And they've done a tremendous job in doing so. And I think that's why, you know, the fans here are so excited because you got two lottery guys that we believe will be top-tier type of players. But when you get Coach Pierce and his staff to get their hands on them, you know, I mean, look out.
And by the way, we can't talk to the other picks because they're technically not ours yet.
Yep.
Again, we started the show. We talked about it on Friday. Very convoluted NBA rules about why. And this goes back to it. And I think because the commissioner, the NBA is on an uptick. Obviously, numbers are good. Even with a team from Canada in there, ratings were decent. Yeah. You think that Adam Silver is going to get his head around this and say, we got it. Let's do free agency. Maybe push the draft back. You know, and do your draft. You know, you could do it after 4th of July. The NFL is always in your mind because there's always something with the NFL every few months coming up.
Yeah, and the way how the NFL handles their business with free agency first.
Right.
And then the draft.
And then we'd see our guy become a Hawk and not a Laker through the Pelicans to the Hawks. Hey, man, we'll come back with Mike Conti. He did a great job with the draft coverage. He came home early from Gatlinburg, his exotic vacation. We'll talk to Mike coming up next.
Busy. Pretty busy.
Too busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
Have I got good news for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
It's our man Mike Conti back at the ranch. And by the way, we said great job if you missed it. We congratulated you on Friday for you and Bunk. And obviously Deshaun Tate breaking it down as the draft was going down. I thought the crowd was great at State Farm, Mike.
Big crowd. Yeah, big, big crowd. It was fun. People are excited. Hawks maybe got a little fortunate. I don't know. But, I mean, the fact is you've got Hunter and you've got Reddish. And the big steal to me was going in the second round finding Bruno Fernando. I mean, he had been mocked in some lotteries. So good job by the Hawks. Very exciting. Somewhat bizarre that they introduced their draft pick today, but they're still not allowed to introduce their other draft picks, plural. Because that trade does not close until July the 6th.
We were just talking, as Brian McFadden's in for Carl today on Dukes and Bell. We were just talking about the end of last segment. You think Silver addresses this and the owners because of the optics of just how discombobulated this whole thing is?
Maybe. I don't know if they have to necessarily. I mean, we all know.
Right.
You know, we all know that DeAndre Hunter's a Hawk and Bruno Fernando's a Hawk. So, now, I mean, I don't think they feel any urgency to go out and do it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about DeAndre? Of course, you know, Cam Reddish is getting all the attention because the trade has yet to be finalized. But what are your thoughts about DeAndre?
I think he might turn out to be the second best player in this draft. Mm. I mean, nothing against Ja Morant. I think he'll be phenomenal as well. But just as far as being an all-around player, giving you some defending,
yeah,
boy, oh boy. I mean, he feels like someone who could be a glue guy for this team for a long time to come. Mm-hmm. So the tricky part for Lloyd Pierce will be, how do you balance getting all these guys on the floor at the same time? Because you're going to want Reddish to play. Reddish did not have a very good finish at Duke as far as shooting is concerned, so he's got to work on that. But, boy, I mean, Hunter is a guy, I think he can go in. He can be an opening night starter.
I think
he can be a nice player for the Hawks right away. So yeah,
cool.
Travis Schlenk did a great job. And all he had to do, basically, to pull all this off was take on a couple expiring contracts and give up a first-round pick that probably wasn't going to convey.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, got to think Cleveland will be in the lottery next year, right?
Yeah.
They don't look very good. And it's 1 through 10 protected, that Cleveland pick. But, I mean, chances are it's probably not going to convey. And right. Travis will still have 2 first-round picks next year.
And all that talk about, you know, the Luka Doncic versus Trey, I mean, that's like in the rearview mirror now. Because both teams have got great stars, but
yeah,
we might turn out better in the bargain for it.
It is possible for both teams to win a trade.
Right.
You know, I love this whole notion. Well, you know,
like
the Mavericks
a zero-sum game,
won
right?
the trade.
Right.
Or the Hawks. It is possible for both teams to win the trade.
I think both teams have already won the trade.
Yeah.
I think the Hawks, they're in a better position because they got an extra first rounder, which was the Mavericks, and look how that panned out.
Well,
a week ago.
It basically turned out to be Luka Doncic for Trae Young and Cam Reddish.
Exactly.
That's basically what it was.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you want to kind of unpeel some of the other trades, you could say Kyle Korver for the pick that turned out to be DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Now, you did other things, too, with New
Orleans.
To make it happen, but that Kyle Korver was the principal in all that. That was a trade the Hawks made, Wes Wilcox was the GM. It was like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. I forgot about it.
A lot of people forgot about that. The Hawks still made the playoffs that year. Now,
yeah.
Korver finds himself on the Memphis Grizzlies, where he might be on the verge of retiring. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Crazy stuff, but it was a fun night Thursday. There is a business professor at Emory. His name is Mike Lewis, and he is using statistical analysis to rank the best and worst fan bases in the NFL. And he put his study out today.
Ooh.
I think this is really interesting. So,
now, what are the metrics, Mike? Like people spending money, interest? What does this qualify by?
So the three criteria are called fan equity, social equity, and road equity. Fan equity, he says, is how well fans back up their words with dollars,
mm-hmm.
spending on merchandise. Social equity, he says, is how the team performs and reaches on social media.
Gotcha.
And then road equity
they travel.
Takes into account, yes, exactly, how fans travel to road games.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any guesses on, based on those three metrics?
The worst?
Hmm?
You say the best or the...
Well, good, both. Who would you say is the best?
The best, I would say, unfortunately for me, I would say Dallas.
That is exactly what he had.
Yeah,
Dallas at number one.
I would say Dallas.
Dallas at number one.
Their fans are annoying.
Who do you think would be the worst of the 32 teams?
Okay,
ooh,
the worst.
And by the way,
I'll say Jacksonville.
No.
No.
No. And by the way, there is a shock here at the bottom of the list. Not 32, but 31. Shock.
Okay,
me.
Okay. I'm going with a team in the AFC East. And it's a toss-up between Miami and Buffalo.
Okay. Mm.
But
so,
you know what? Buffalo fans, they're always drunk.
Yeah.
So they're, yeah, they're traveling.
The Bills are 19th on the list,
so
and the Dolphins are 14th.
Wow.
Which surprised me.
That's
surprising. I'm guessing a lot of that has to do with the fan equity, the spending on merchandise.
Okay.
Because the Dolphins have really cool uniforms.
Maybe Detroit?
The Detroit Lions are... number 22,
okay.
Kind of lower middle.
I don't like this.
The fans want to like that team, but don't give them much to like.
Okay, now, the last place team, number 32 on his study of who has the best and worst
just
fan bases in
NFC,
the NFL.
AFC.
It's NFC West. Played in the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's easy because they're so new. Yeah, there's no equity built up.
Yeah. They don't draw well. Their fan, we saw it here.
We saw
they're,
two, honestly, Brian, we saw two Rams fans on Peachtree.
Yeah. No,
I walked to work every day during Super Bowl week.
So
two.
The Patriots are number 2 in this study, and the Rams are number 32. And we absolutely saw that here during the Super Bowl. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Unfortunately, this place was teeming with Patriots fans.
Yeah.
You're darn right they were, Mike Cotty.
There was not a Rams fan to be found. Here's what shocked me. Number 31 second to last, according to this Emory Business School study, of the best and worst fan bases in the NFL. Number 31, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
That shocked me.
It's like a college environment out
right.
there.
Right. Don't they have the reputation of being like the loudest stadium in the league?
So they don't travel? I don't understand.
They must don't travel. Maybe social media.
Two things I can think of. Kansas City is a very, very small market. Okay. Mm-hmm. Probably, I mean, Green Bay is a small market, but they have the whole state of Wisconsin. And
they're also a heritage team,
so they have a lot of fans nationally. New Orleans is a small market, but they spend money like crazy on the Saints because that's all they have down there. My guess is the Chiefs are being punished. In fact, if you look at the bottom teams on this list, Chiefs, Titans, Jaguars, Bengals, these are small market teams. Mm-hmm. And if he is basing this just on how many followers a team has on Twitter and Insta and how much money people are spending on uniforms, well, then this would kind of make sense. If you look at the top four teams, Dallas, New England, Philadelphia, the New York Giants, well, those are all big market teams.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is number five. I know that doesn't surprise you, Brian. Feels like any time you go to a Steelers road game, especially here in the Southeast, terrible towels everywhere. Packers are sixth. Broncos, Bears, 49ers, Saints round out the top 10.
And the Saints got in the top 10.
And he guessed on where the Falcons might be, according to this study.
And the teams, what are we saying, 17th,
right in the middle? Right in the 18th? Middle?
They're 13th.
They're 13. Okay.
32 teams. That's so good. Kind of upper middle.
We are the 14th, as far as the list of the per capita income, as far as major metropolitan areas, Atlanta is the 14th in the country.
Mm-hmm.
The average salary in Atlanta is 25. It gets over everybody is $25,288.
Mm-hmm. That's the average salary?
Per capita income.
Woo.
List of United States metropolitan areas by per capita income.
Wow.
This is from a United States Census 2010.
It's the last time I complained about what I'm getting paid for.
You would be both partner.
I did not realize that.
By the way, D.C. is number one. And in case you're wondering, you just mentioned Kansas City. They came in 32 at 23,000.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, having just been out to Kansas City a couple weeks ago with Atlanta United, it was my first time out there.
Uh-huh.
I was surprised at just how small a city that
it's
is.
It's extremely small. But going back to the football, you know, franchise being that low, they've been relevant for quite some time.
Yeah,
they've always been a competitive team. And their fans, I thought they travel. And I know going to Arrowhead, man, listen.
Well, remember we were saying before the Super Bowl, the best thing that could happen for Atlanta would be a Saints-Chiefs Super Bowl. Because I think we had assumed that
the
Patriot fans, they're tired of this. Right. They aren't going to travel to the Super Bowl anymore. They're just going to spend their Super Bowl Sunday at Wonderland Dog Park with Coach Hobson.
Oh, God. What is the hell? Don't knock it until you try it, Mike.
No, I know. I've been there. But as it turns out, we may have been wrong.
Yeah.
My assumption was it had been so long for the Chiefs to go to a Super Bowl, and that, they do have kind of a college-like following, and Kansas City is semi-drivable to Atlanta. I think it's like a 12-hour drive.
Right. It's not bad. Maybe and it's nothing wrong. Else. It's nothing else.
By the way, Brian, New Orleans, Louisiana, $18,834 a year. That's the lowest per capita income. 170th in the U.S.
Wow.
This is going from the census in 2010. Per capita income.
So do they count people making no money?
I guess so.
You have to.
Yeah. It would have to. I mean, how else could it be so low?
Wow.
Because, like, Washington, D.C., the per capita income is $47,000. New York is 19th at $24,000 and change.
How do you live in New York on $24,000?
Yeah. Well, you're on welfare. Yeah. I mean, you're not working part of it, which may be taken into account some of the folks that are on
You said D.C. was 40-something. Yeah. I would think that would be New York.
If we have any economists listening to us, please text us on the Solomon Brothers info. Diamond text line and explain this one to me.
Yeah.
Because that feels very low.
Again, this is from the United States Census numbers, list of United States metropolitan areas by per capita income.
I believe you. But anyhow, Cowboys number one, L.A. Rams dead last on the study of best fans in the NFL.
By the way, me and we're Florida State guys. We'll never get this math right. I mean, you good at math? Were you any good at math?
I was pretty good.
Okay,
man.
That's one of you. You graduated and everything.
You know what improved my math skills?
What's that?
Playing blackjack.
See?
Yeah, it's got to add quickly.
That's a very Florida State answer. Right?
Yeah.
Good answer.
Play blackjack. Really
Only numbers I can – the only multiplication tables I can do are 3, 4, 5 times odds on a craps table.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Yes, sir.
Mike Conley be back with another In Case You Missed It. We got more to talk about with him coming up. I got to pick your brain about this Cam Newton transatlantic flight when he was trying to hustle. That's on the way. But next, coming up, Seth Emerson to say what's up with Georgia's wide receiver depth chart as Holloman is no longer a dog. We'll also see what's going on as it's the quiet time in Athens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.